In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
If somebody were to ask you, maybe some kind of a trivia question, or testing your knowledge of the Bible or of your faith, and if they asked, who is identified as the light of the world in the Bible, we'd probably all answer, Jesus. And that's a good answer. That's the only answer. Jesus himself says in the Gospel of John, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We call Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the light of the world because he shows us who God is. He illuminates God for us. In our creed that we profess as Orthodox Christians, that's one of the first titles we apply to our Lord. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, light from light, very God from very God. He is light because God is light. And the Holy Fathers of the first six ecumenical councils that we remember in the church on this Sunday were the ones who showed us how to understand who Jesus is. In the early centuries of the church, people knew that there was a man, Jesus. They knew he had followers. They knew he was crucified. But what does it all mean? And even the believers, how do we understand Jesus? How do we worship God through him? Well, it took about 4 centuries, and the Holy Fathers told us in very precise language, Jesus Christ is co-eternal with God the Father. He is of one essence. He is not created by God the Father, but rather is the co-creator. They are one. Distinct persons, but one in godness. And we proclaim him to be everything that God the Father is, except he is the Son. So we know from the Bible, all the way back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, we know that God is light, and God creates light. It's interesting, if you look at Genesis, the very first thing God does is he creates light. But it's not until the 4th day of creation that he puts the luminaries up in the heavens, the greater one, the sun, to rule the day, and the lesser one, the moon, to rule the night. It seems kind of funny. He creates light, and then a few days later, the sun and the moon, the thing that we tend to think of as giving light. And in the ancient world, this was a powerful argument for the one sovereign Almighty God, the one universal God. Because the sun and the moon were thought to be the source of light. They were thought to be deities. So our scripture tells us right from the get-go, no, it is the God we worship who created all these things. He is the source. And he can have light and create light simply by his word, independent of and 4 days earlier than the sun and the moon. The holy prophet Elijah, we remember him in our church today as well, the great prophet who conversed with Jesus on Mount Tabor, along with Moses. We see them in this icon depicted, having a conversation. Moses representing the law, God's expressed word in the text, and Elijah expressing God's word through the prophets. The greatest example of the prophets. Elijah was somebody who argued that there is but one God, and it is Yahweh. It is the God of the Israelites. It is the God who made a covenant with his people, who delivered them out of bondage, who said, I will be your God and you will be my people. He is their God, not alone, but he is the God of everybody. He is the one true God. And Elijah's name means that. It means in Hebrew, Elijah. God is Yahweh, Jehovah, whom we know to be the Father of Jesus Christ. In Scripture, throughout, it's never a question of God or no God, but rather which God. Because in the ancient world, they knew there's something greater than us. You know, they didn't have atheism in the ancient world. That's a modern innovation. We can say, maybe there's nothing. Maybe it's all just random and just happens. But in the ancient world, they knew something or somebody was in control. Was it many gods of nature? Was it the one who causes rain and fertility amongst the crops? Was that a god? You know, they had many gods and understood God to be manifest in many things of nature. But our scriptural God revealed to us is the one God who is above all creation, who causes everything to be simply by His word. And that is what Elijah fought for. And that is what the Holy Fathers taught us in articulating our creed for us. One God, the Father, and in one Lord Jesus Christ. So God has expressed Himself throughout the centuries and throughout the ages in many ways, as we know, in His Word, in the law He gave to Moses, in the prophets. And then finally, as it tells us, in these last days, in the very person of His Son, Jesus Christ. The evangelist John tells us in the prologue to his gospel, the true light that enlightens every man is coming into the world. And that's Jesus Christ. That's the Word of God made flesh. That's everything that was written about God, revealing God, showing God, said about Him, now made a human person. So we call Jesus the light. We call Jesus the light because now we have seen God, so to speak. In ancient times, God spoke through a prophet. He spoke through the Torah, the law. And He communicated with Moses in various ways. But He wouldn't let Moses see His face. There's an interesting passage in Exodus where God is coming out and He hides Moses' face. He shields him so he can't see God's face because He says, you will die. Now we have seen God's face in the person of our Lord Jesus. Show us the Father and we will be satisfied, His disciples ask Him. And Jesus says, have I been with you this long and you still don't see? He who sees Me has seen the Father. So we have God with us, Emmanuel, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the light. So in today's gospel, the first thing Jesus tells His disciples is, interestingly, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And then He tells them how that is. Let your good works so shine before men that they may see them and glorify the Father in heaven. You know, we're sometimes taught, and it's good that we understand this, not to boast about our good deeds, not to make them public, not to let anybody know the good things we do. And there's wisdom in that. Because we don't want to ever be doing anything for personal gain or personal glory or to make ourselves puffed up at the expense of other people. However, God still wants us to do good works, and in a way, He wants us to display them for a very important reason. And we hear it in today's gospel. That they may see your good works and give glory to the Father in heaven. Not so that they might give glory to us, but that they might give glory to God where it belongs. St. Paul, in his epistle to Titus today, also speaks about good deeds. And he tells Titus, I desire you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to apply themselves to good deeds. Good deeds and good works mentioned in both the epistles and the gospels. And these are chosen, by the way, for the holy fathers of the ecumenical councils. These readings are for them today. They're readings based on our commemoration of the holy fathers today. We understand that we are saved by the grace of God alone. We understand that we live and that we have salvation because Jesus Christ died for us, not because we did good works or not because we were righteous. In fact, it couldn't be, because Jesus died for us while we were dead in our sins, the Scriptures tells us. While we were dead in our sins, He sacrificed Himself for us. So we are saved by His blood on the cross. We are in that new covenant with God through Jesus' sacrifice, ratified in His blood. And yet we don't dismiss good works at all. We shouldn't dismiss good works at all. We know that if we have faith in God, if we belong to Jesus, then we will be saved. We will be counted among His people on the last day. But we are still required to obey. We are still required to act like we believe in God and we belong to Him. We are required to respond to this salvation by the good works that God calls us to. Jesus gives us a commandment in the Gospels, a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. This is the great example for us as Christians. We are to love one another, not just a little bit, not just when it's convenient, not when it profits me, not for a display, but all the way to the length of lowering ourselves and offering up ourselves as a sacrifice if necessary. St. Paul writes of Jesus. He says, although He was in the form of God, He thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but took on our form and made nothing of Himself, and humbled Himself to obedience, even to death on the cross. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, if Jesus our Lord is the light of the world, and if we belong to Him, and He calls us the light of the world, we should know that no less is expected of us. In fact, this is what we are called to do if we believe, if we belong, and if the true light of God is in Him. In Him is manifest in us. We are to love one another and show other people our good works, not for personal gain, but for the glory of God. Because other people will learn from us. They'll see the things we do. Sometimes we're too careful about not letting anyone know what we really believe. You know, our society kind of teaches us that. Well, you can't talk about faith. You know, just respect everybody. And we end up having no faith displayed in public at all. How are we to be a witness to the world if that's the case? You know, if people know that that person's a Christian, but I don't know anything about her faith, what she believes, what she worships. I never see her do any good works. We have to embrace good works. We have to do the things God has called us to if we believe in Him and if we belong to Him through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is not our light that is shining. It is the light of God given to us through Jesus Christ. And when Jesus calls us light in the gospel, he wants our light to be a beacon to illumine the world so that other people would give glory to God and they themselves might come to him and find out what it takes to be saved. So this is our gospel message today. This is the word of God we have. I mentioned the Holy Fathers. It's a very special celebration today. It's the resurrection, always on Sunday. The Holy Fathers are the first six ecumenical councils, the teachers, the ones who showed us how to understand who Jesus is, how is he the light, and what does that mean? And also we celebrate the holy prophet Elias, a well-loved saint in our church. We celebrate him a day early so we can include him with our commemorations today. Someone else who in the teachings shows us who the real God is and how to worship him and how to be obedient to him. So through their prayers, the prayers of all the saints and of the most holy Theotokos, may God have mercy on us and save us.